Heavenly Father, we thank you for Andrew and this word that he is bringing and the preparation that has gone into it. I just pray that you will speak mightily through him, Lord, and through your word. And I also pray over us as we hear the word, Lord, just open our hearts and help us to listen intentionally, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Ephraim. Thanks, Caleb and the music team. Lovely songs and sound desk as well. And welcome, everyone. Welcome if you're a visitor. Welcome to the refugees in the foyer. We're continuing our journey in the book of James, and we're going to be having a reading from there very soon. It's one of the earliest letters in the New Testament, probably the earliest epistle in the New Testament. And James is probably the oldest of the brothers of the Lord Jesus, and he actually opposed and misunderstood the Lord's earthly ministry. So how is it that this man is writing this letter to us and is obviously truly a believer and very focused on the Lord? Well, we find out more. He was converted by a very special private interview with the risen Lord. And we find out about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Don't know more details, but we know that he was saved. He was turned around and he was a pillar of the early church, a man of prayer, and a wonderful testimony to God's work in the life of someone who is seeking. Today, our topic is how to be blessed by the Bible. And it's an absolute joy to share God's precious word. It's a really important topic for us. And this book is unique. It's life-giving. It's precious. And the psalmist says that it's more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey. So let's find out more. We've got our own very resident James Broadbridge with us today. So James will come up and read from James chapter 1. Thank you, James.
Speaking from James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Thank you, James, for that reading. And can I just do a quick survey this morning? It's not very scientific, but how many of you have skipped breakfast today? Wow. I'm going to ask that again. I just can't believe that. How many of you have skipped breakfast today? Please, right up high. That is amazing. Possibly the survey is skewed because there's a barbecue this morning and cake, but that is absolutely amazing. And just for the purpose of the recording, I would say that we've probably got over 50 people who have skipped breakfast today. Okay, how many of you choose to skip breakfast every day? Okay, that's not so bad. That's great. That's great. About possibly 10 maximum. Okay, well, the verses we've read today are well known to many, but maybe very new to some of you, and they involve our attitude and response to this unique book. And most of us, according to our survey, really, or should really, skip breakfast. But many would possibly admit not spending a lot of time reading this book. Some people I know have a very serious motto in life, and it's no Bible, no breakfast. It's not a bad policy. Today we want to look at these nine verses and find out how to be blessed by the Bible. How can we be blessed by the Bible? And just firstly, just for context, please look at verse 18, which says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The word there, brought forth, is the word begat, to give birth. And it's referring to a new birth that has taken place. The Greek word used here just once in the Bible, apokouio. And this book has been written to believers, those who have been born again, regenerated through the word of truth. And notice the connection of the word of God in this process. It's for a purpose, to be first fruits, and more on that later on. We read in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you are a seeker today, remember to go to this book if you are wanting to know more about God. We encourage you to read this book and experience by faith the new birth and miracle of salvation that God offers through the Lord Jesus. So I pray that this message today, which is primarily for believers, will also be helpful and reach those who may be seeking and hungry for truth. Verse 19 commences with the phrase, "my beloved brothers," and there's a reason for that. It's often repeated throughout the letter of James, and I think one of the reasons is that James is actually very pointed, and some of his words could actually be quite offensive. They're very direct and very convicting, and so he's writing in love. He's saying, "Beloved, this is the word of God, and it might offend you. It might actually be very confronting, but beloved, this is what God says to us," and he's writing in love to us. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend," and we need to hear God's word to us today. James is a book that focuses on works. But remember, James is absolutely not a self-help book about good living. It is not just a how-to checklist to do good and to get better. That totally misses the point. So don't imagine that coming to church today makes you a better person. Getting baptized does not save you. Taking communion does not save you. In fact, that is actually for believers who are already saved. Giving to God does not somehow make you a better person. They might all be good actions, but they are external. The only thing that saves is trusting in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus, and resting in the work that he has done for salvation, the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And then there is a change from within, and our righteousness, which is just filthy rags in God's sight, is replaced by Christ's righteousness within. And so we must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is what God's word says. If any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So today let us read this book not to just be informed, but to be reformed and to be transformed. This is the word of God. So back to the text. No PowerPoint today. I have four divisions, verse 19 and 20, verse 21, 22 to 25, and 26 and 27. And four steps today from the scripture in how to be blessed by the Bible. Now, if you need to switch off, if you need to speed up the lecture, I'm going to give you those four steps right now. So here we are: quietness, meekness, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. There we have it. Verse 19 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." James says that we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I notice we have two ears and one mouth. And so it makes mathematical sense that we should listen twice as much as we talk. We'll hear a lot more about the tongue in this book, but just to say that it is in a very slippery place and it can cause a lot of trouble. Without too much detail about the tongue, because we'll hear more about that in a few weeks' time, our speech is a portrait of who we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In a way, our speech actually gives us away. It betrays us. That's what Peter found out in the courtyard. The servant girl said to him, you're with the Galilean. You're one of his. Your speech betrays you. And Proverbs is full of good advice about our speech. The wise writer puts it this way, Proverbs 10, verse 19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Proverbs 17, verse 27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, writes this way, an open mouth shows an empty head. If a chest has gold or silver in it, it will not always stand wide open. If we would be sure not to speak wrongly, it might be as well not to speak as much. For if all men's sins were divided into two bundles, half of them would be sins of the tongue. Most issues of anger, most issues of disagreement, I'm sure you'll agree, will start with words. But quietness is consistently God's way. In 1 Kings, we read of a troubled prophet and he's running away and he's on the mountain and he sees an earthquake and wind and fire. And then he hears a still, small voice. It is a whisper of God speaking to him. God's ways are ways of quietness. And like young Samuel of old, we need to pray, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So, do you want to be blessed by God's word? James says, be quick to listen. Just quench the anger in your heart that drowns out the small, calm, quiet voice of God to you in his word. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. The word Selah in the Psalms speaks of the majestic pause and consider. Cultivate that quietness and that calmness of soul that is quick to listen and slow to speak. Secondly, we read in verse 21, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. We live in a world which is filthy and super abundantly wicked. That's the word there in the Greek. Superfluity of naughtiness is what the King James puts it at. But there we are, super abundance of wickedness. And the word of God is able to save us. James reminds us to meekly receive this implanted word, to allow it to penetrate and to fill us. But we need that spirit of meekness and brokenness before God's word, that humility, often a painful awareness of our utter inadequacy, of our depravity and our desperate need for God's word. Much of the book of James is linked with the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so let us run to this book with that spirit of longing and humility. So if we want to be blessed by God's word, start with those fundamental attitudes of quietness and meekness. Turning to verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. And this verse, of course, along with chapter 2, verse 26, is one of the most quoted verses of the book of James. Now, I'm a serious collector of sheep stories, and one of my favourite verses is actually John 10, verse 27. Last week, we actually had John 10, verse 27. Caleb, thank you for that. It was already in my notes, but I was so blessed to hear that. So we're going to read that again, and it says this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." These are the words of the Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. That verse there is actually the theme of this message from James chapter 1 today. That verse: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's four parts to this verse: speaking and knowing, hearing, and following. The shepherd is the one who speaks to us and knows us. The Bible tells us that God knows all about us. Psalm 139, "Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my down sitting and my uprising." He knows the thoughts that we have. He knows the speech that we have. He knows the days of our lives. But this same one wants to be in a relationship with us. And time again, God is actually speaking through his word. God speaks. God has spoken in the past through the prophets. He speaks through his creation. And if you read Psalm 19, you'll read about that voice that goes out day by day throughout the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. God speaks to us through our conscience, Romans chapter 1. God speaks to us through his written word, Psalm 119. God is literally calling each day and saying to us, "Listen, hear my voice." If and only if we are in a relationship with the Good Shepherd, we hear and we follow. Sheep will not listen to a stranger, and I can testify to that. Sheep will usually look up and listen when they hear a voice they know. And I've got lots of good sheep stories about that. Now, James has two action words to describe this process. And I'm going to just use this magnificent bike as an example for you. For the purpose of the recording, it's a mountain bike. And the first process is actually hearing. I'm going to put that on the first wheel of the bike. The thought of hearing. Imagine if you're just hearing. You're just listening, and that's a good thing. But if you were just hearing, if you're a student and you're just studying over and over again, and you've done lots of assignments, and you've done your thesis, but you're not employed, and no disrespect, but if that's the case, you probably will need Peter Sun to help you. Hearing is very vital, but James has a second word that is also very important. There we are. Now look, I realise that there are people who are very good on a unicycle, but most bicycles involve two wheels. Hearing and doing. If you're just hearing and not doing, you're not going to get very far. If you are just doing but not hearing, you're going to spin your wheels. All right? So James is very clear here. Just like we need two legs to stand on, and I can testify to that, as believers, we are to be both hearers and doers. Nike, just do it. We need to be like the servant saying, "Here am I, send me. I'm ready for whatever my master requires." John describes it as loving God and keeping his commands. Two things: love and obedience, hearing and doing. And again, just to remind ourselves, this does not save us on its own. Obedience does not save us on its own. Obedience is the evidence of love for God's commands. So often we try and get to heaven riding this wheel here, but not actually hearing God's voice. How important it is to be hearers and doers. And of course, James gives the classic illustration in verse 23 and 24 of a person who looks in the mirror and presumably sees there's a lot to get sorted out, but promptly forgets to follow through. He looks at himself, verse 24, he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So how can we be blessed by the Bible? The answer is the third step. It's the thought of faithfulness. Faithfulness. A willingness and obedience to hear God's voice, to listen to God's commands and his instructions for us, and to respond in obedience and willing action. The result is in verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. There's huge blessing in persevering. Already in this chapter, persevering in trials, persevering in prayer for God's wisdom, perseverance in overcoming temptation, and now in reading God's word. Many laws, I'm sure you will agree, are suffocating laws. But here we have the law of liberty. Most laws actually tell us what not to do. But here God's law is actually enlivening and liberating and blessing us. They bring freedom. They bring meaning. They bring hope and direction and guidance for life. Do you want to be blessed by God's word? Have a spirit of quietness, of meekness, and faithfulness to God's word. The fourth and final section is verse 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. These last two verses seem almost isolated from the preceding verses. We don't often find the word religion in Scripture. Religion is actually an outward expression of an inward conviction. But it makes sense here when James says it because we realize he's actually saying, practice what you preach. Put into action exactly what you believe. And so the fourth step in receiving blessing from God's word is fruitfulness. And the reality of our faith is expressed in fruitfulness for God. It will be seen in controlled speech and behavior. It is practical and expressed in care for others, those in need, the orphans and the widows and the afflicted, and it is pure in conduct in an evil and hostile world. As we are fruitful for the Lord Jesus, as we are abiding in the true vine of John 15, we are showing evidence of God's regeneration in our lives. We are actually showing that fruit day by day and following the perfect example of the Lord Jesus, who demonstrated quietness, who showed meekness, who was faithful, and he was fruitful. Like the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1, his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditated day and night. In summary, how can we be blessed by the scriptures today? The big picture is this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And God is speaking to us through his word today. A book that is so often forgotten and neglected, don't do that. It is so valuable. It is treasure. No Bible, no breakfast. Simple. Be sure you can say that the Lord is my shepherd. Make sure that you have been born again through this word of God, bringing life to you. Be sure to listen and obey. Get on your bike and be a hearer and a doer. Come with these steps of quietness and meekness and faithfulness. Pray that God will grant fruitfulness for his glory. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your word today. Thank you that you choose to speak through creation, through salvation, and now day by day through your word, through your precious pages to us that give life and truth and guidance for each day. Father, I pray that you will still our hearts, that you'll give us that spirit of meekness and quietness, that we will listen and hear your voice to us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be faithful doers of your word, that we will not just be hearing but doing nothing, but rather be obedient to your word and its truth. I pray, Lord, that your word will bear fruit, that we will be those who are showing new life and your word bearing fruit for your glory, for your honor, for your name's sake. So speak to us, Lord, we pray. Speak to us as we listen. Help us as we journey. We need you and we need your word. We pray that it will be treasure, that it will be like gold, and that you'll open our hearts and open our ears to listen. We pray this for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.